Well, it's a real joy to be back with you, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. Last Sunday, Patricia and I, in our devotions, came across a passage, and as we were listening to that devotion, I said to Patricia, that is the message I want to preach today. And it's based on Psalm 80, and I trust that as we focus on it, I know I've been preaching on the Psalms for a long time. I'm going to, probably from next week, start a new series in another book. But I just wanted to, this morning, focus our attention on Psalm 80. Of course, in all the busyness of trying to get ready, I left my notes at home. So hopefully my computer lasts long enough to give me my notes as we go through this morning. Psalm 80 says this: "For the director of music, to the tune of the lilies of the covenant of Asaph, a psalm. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You gathered the ground for it. You took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. I set out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and creatures of the fields feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see, watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burnt with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved." I've entitled my message this morning simply this: Dear God, we are ready to be restored. Dear God, we are ready to be restored. Why is this so important? Well, Patricia and I specifically took a very long holiday this time. I was pretty intentional, apart from one afternoon, of not switching my computer on. Just left it in my bag, tried very intentionally not to get caught up in work in any sort of thing. I see my emails on my phone, so I knew there were lots of people wanting things from me. I've had many SMSs and WhatsApp messages of people who have said to me, I need something from you, but I know I needed physical restoration. The end of last year, we were exhausted. Been a long time. We needed to be restored physically, but friends, we need to be restored spiritually as well. Physical restoration is one thing, but only God can restore us spiritually and emotionally. In many ways, I love that Afrikaans word, moeg. I'm moeg, I'm tired. And I wonder if you don't feel like that a little bit sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters. You know, the longer you're on the spiritual road, you may think that, you know, I'll just get stronger and stronger and stronger as the years go by. But friends, the reality is you just get tireder and tireder and tireder as the years go by. I'm not talking about physical tiredness. I'm talking about, Lord, are you going to work? So this morning I want to remind us that just like Asaph basically said what I want to say this morning. Lord, dear God, we are ready for restoration. In the psalm, friends, there are three things I want to look at this morning. Three main titles. Firstly, the symptoms that display that our faith is moeg. The symptoms that display that spiritually we may be jaded or tired. Then we're going to look at the scream that should sound out of our lips. And finally, we're going to be reminded gloriously of the God who can lift us up and lift us out of our burdens. First of all, the symptoms that display that we are tired spiritually. Asaph explains them so wonderfully in this passage. First one is found in verse 4. The first symptom, friends, that you're feeling spiritually tired is this. It's the feeling that God is not answering all of your prayers. Look what Asaph says in verse 4. Lord God, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? Friends, notice that the people are still praying. It's not that we've lost total heart. It's not that we've turned our back on God. It's not as if Asaph, friends, was in a place where he was at a total rejection from God. Friends, he was still in a place where he was turning to God, yet he felt as if God were angry with him about something and was not answering his prayers. Friends, perhaps you're just tired spiritually. Perhaps you're not awakened to the reality of who God is. The second symptom, friends, that Asaph reminds us is that the ongoing sense of joy is not present. Listen to verse 5. Asaph says, you have fed them with a bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You know, when we began the singing this morning, I wondered where the joy was in the congregation. Man, it sounded poor, didn't it? We sounded like we were still half asleep in bed, weren't we? I'm glad to say that it picked up. God worked in our hearts as we were singing, as he, you know, enthused us and encouraged us and we joined our hearts together in corporate worship. But I wonder if our opening song isn't a reflection of how we're feeling. Lord, we're coming here. We're ready to worship. But Lord, we need you. We need you to move again, Lord. We need you to restore the joy of our salvation. Asaph sensed that people were weary, that there were bowls of tears. Thirdly, third symptom that our faith may be a little bit tired or moch, is that, friends, our faith does not seem to impact our society as much. Look at verse 6. Asaph said, "You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors. Our enemies mock us." The enemies that Asaph was talking about were the nations of Edom and Moab around Israel. Edom and Moab around Israel, friends, were prospering at this point in the history of the nation of Israel. And it was as if it was a condemnation on Israel themselves. The world was prospering, but the church, the people of God, was not prospering as it should have. Asaph is saying, "Lord, why don't we make the difference in the world that we should?" Have you asked yourself that question, perhaps? You know, sometimes I wonder, what we see, friends, is church doors closing in our world. As you know, one of the things Patricia and I like to do is we like to watch restoration programs. And I'm always shocked at the number, particularly in England, not so much in America, but in England, how many of the churches have been sold to now be converted into homes or businesses. Churches are closing their doors in their droves. There was a day, friends, in our Christian history where there weren't enough churches and we needed to build more churches. But now there's so many that just closing their doors. We've lost our impact on society. And Asaph was feeling that. "Lord, we were a great nation. The nation of Israel should be the change catalyst in the world." But they weren't. Edom and Moab were making them look bad. Friends, the world around us sometimes is making the church look bad. Fourthly, fourth symptom of that our faith is tired is that sometimes we have forgotten what God has done in the past. Look how Asaph reminds the readers of the psalm. He said, "You brought a vine, just one little plant out of Egypt. You drove out nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river." Friends, we need to recall what God has done for us in the past. Because the same God that worked in the past is the same God that will work in the future and in the present. Friend, we need to be reminded that God has worked. We just need to look around us, friends. Look at these incredible facilities that God has provided through His people in the past, and we know God is faithful to us. Let's not forget all that God has done for us, congregation. And fifth and lastly, the fifth symptom that maybe our faith is tired is that sometimes we feel defeated. Look at verse 12. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by can pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Friend, we need to look introspectively. We need to look inside. Start wondering, why are we feeling so defeated? There's no need for us to feel like that. Perhaps we're just tired. Perhaps we're spiritually jaded. Perhaps, friends, we're far from God and we need a fresh outpouring from God again. And it brings me to my second point. And my second point, friends, is very simple. The second point is simply this, is that we need to be screaming to God to come and restore us. You know, one of the things you are taught when you are studying to prepare for the ministry and studying to know how to prepare a sermon is to look for things that are repeated in a passage. Because when you find the things that are repeated in a passage, you can very often discover what the message of that particular passage is all about, friends. And four times in one psalm of 19 verses, we come across this phrase, restore us, God. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Verse 7, restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Verse 14, return to us, O God Almighty, look down from heaven and see, watch over this one. Verse 19, restore us, O Lord God Almighty, make your face shine upon us, that we might be saved. Even although in the one verse, verse 14, the word is translated return, it's the same word in the Hebrew, friends. The Hebrew word is the word shuv, return, or restore, repent. That's the message. That's what needs to happen. That's what the psalm Asaph is reminding us of. Friends, there's two elements we need here. When Asaph says, restore us, Lord, he is saying, Lord, I'm ready to put aside that from my perspective, which is preventing me from worshiping you. But Lord, I need you. We need you, Lord, to restore us. Just like an old car, when you take an old car and you get rid of all the rust and you put a new, a lot of paint on it and you take the engine out and you redo the engine and you put new pistons in and you rebore the cylinders and you kind of put a turbocharger on it and you take out the old leather that's in the seats there and you get it sewn up nicely and you polish it up all nicely and you put a new set of mags on, friends. In the end, what may have been a disaster of a car now becomes something restored, beautiful, ready to be used, ready to be used for the glory of God and for the owner of that particular item. What's Asaph asking for? Asaph, friends, is asking God to return us to the condition that Adam and Eve experienced. Adam and Eve, friends, walked in the garden. They had communion with God. They had fellowship with God. They spoke to God face to face. They were with Him all the time, friends. It was as if God was in their midst and they were in His midst. But there comes the moment, friends, when sin enters into the world and God puts them out of the garden, and the face of God no longer shines upon them. So Asaph is saying to us, friend, let your heart so desire to restore again the desire to be in the presence of God at all points in time. May your face shine upon us. Now, how does that happen? Brings me to the third point. Friends, it happens when God moves. That's what Asaph is dependent upon. He recognizes he needs to repent. But his call is to God. God, you need to restore us. We've tried our best, God. We've worked. We've done our thing. But it's up to you, God. Who's the God that Asaph turns to? Well, the first thing that we learn about that God is He is the shepherd. He starts the psalm by saying, hear us, O shepherd of Israel. Friend, God is the shepherd who leads us into green pastures. We need again to be led by the shepherd. We need again to be asking Jesus, Jesus, take control of our lives. Take control of our church. Take control of our society. Lord, it's you who we need to lead and guide. For too long, Lord, we've been trying to do things our own way. Please, like Asaph, we beg you, as the shepherd of Israel led the nation of Israel, so may the shepherd of the church lead the church and lead us. Second thing he reminds us is, friend, it's not that God has not stopped shining. Look at the end of verse 1. He says, you sit enthroned among the cherub, shine forth. You could translate that last phrase as, continue shining, Lord, you are shining. Really, what Asaph is reminding us, friends, and I've often said this, it's not God who has moved away from us. It's us who have moved away from God. God has always been shining. God has always sent forth His glory. His glory has never been diminished, friends. It's us who have moved out of that shining presence. We again need to come closer to God so that we may be aware of the presence of God shining upon us. God never stopped shining. But how are we restored? Well, friends, we are restored when we make Jesus the center of our lives. How do I know that? Well, in verse 15, Asaph prophetically points to Jesus. Look what he says in verse 15. The root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. What root is he talking about? Well, friend, he's talking about what Isaiah and Jeremiah spoke about. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, it says this, a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. From his root, a branch will bear forth. Jeremiah 25 and verse 5 says this, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up to David, a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right and just in the land. Who's he talking about, friends? He's talking about none other than Jesus Christ. The root of the tribe of Jesse. We've just remembered that over Christmas time. The fact that Joseph had to go to Jerusalem. We read about that in the first verse. The shepherd led Joseph. Friend, this is the root. The root is Jesus. But it's not only the root, friends, that grew up. It's also the root that was cut down. Verse 16. The vine is cut down. It is burnt with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Friends, the same vine that God sent in his son is the same vine that was cut down at a cross, who died in our place, who gave his life for us, who made it possible for us to enter into a relationship with our Creator God, because he willingly gave himself up for us. But friends, he wasn't only cut down. He was raised again. The end of verse 17 says this, let your hand rest on the Son of Man that you raised up for yourself. Friends, Jesus has conquered death because he's overcome all of that which can pull us down, friends. Jesus has conquered the final enemy. We don't need to feel moch. We don't need to feel tired, friends, because Jesus has done it all on our behalf. Who is this one? Verse 17, the first part of it tells us, let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. Who is at the right hand of the Father other than Jesus Christ himself, friends? Friend, we need to be restored. We need again, Lord, for you to come. Dear Lord, we are ready to be restored. In Exodus, we have a story of a time when Moses was feeling spiritually moch. He was tired. The people of Israel were wearying him. He was still the leader of Israel. He was still the man that God had chosen to lead the people of Israel out of the land, friends. But he felt tired. And in verse 32, it says this, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me lead this people, but you have not let me know how you will send me. You have said, I know you by name and have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, Moses says, teach me your ways. In other words, be my shepherd, Lord, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And what does God say? The Lord said, my presence will go with you and you will be at rest. Friend, we need to stop trying to do things in our own strength. We need God's restoration. We need God's strength. We need to turn to Him and say, God, You are the one who can take us through this year for Your glory. Listen to the words of Jesus as I close this message. He says this, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke. Learn from me," he says, "for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Take my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light." Friend, what do we need to do this year as we move ahead with Jesus? It's that very thing, friends. We need to move ahead with Jesus. And like Asaph screamed, like Asaph cried, "Lord, restore us. May your face shine upon us." Never let us move without knowing we're moving in your presence. Lord, help us. Help us to focus our attention always on you. Turn our eyes to you, Lord. Help us to make sure that we're always looking to you to guide. Help us not to try and rush ahead in our own strength, Lord, for that'll tire us out. But help us to wait for you. Help us to be like Moses, Lord, who said, "I will not move until I see you move." Give us a clear sense of your restoration, your moving, your face in the weeks ahead. We pray that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. We're going to sing that